Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nazir is Yud Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. We're going to go off on a tangent. But with a purpose, with a goal, we're going to come back to our Mishnah. So I'll just quickly mention the Mishnah, remind ourselves of the Mishnah, but then we're going to disembark and we're going to go on a little journey, and then we're going to come back and we're going to go full circle. The Mishnah yesterday on Yud Aleph Amud Beis taught us the following scenario. A person declares himself to be a Nazir, and then as he was in the mood of Nazir, as he also said, you know what, I'll be Nazir and I'll sponsor another Nazir as well. Okay, not myself, I'll sponsor somebody else. Somebody else heard him, and you know, things are contagious, so he says, you know, me too. I'm going to be a Nazir, and I'll sponsor somebody else. So the Mishnah said, well, if they're smart, if they're clever, if they're pichin, so what they should do is each one of them should be a Nazir and sponsor each other. Good. That was the Mishnah we saw yesterday. I mentioned it. We're going to come back to the Mishnah later this morning. In the meantime, we're on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and the Gemara now is going to take us on a little journey. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara at the very bottom of the Amud quotes, in the name of Rav Yochanan, the following halacha. So a person says to a shliach, look, I'd like you to be mekarish a woman for me. Mekarish, I'm sorry, I missed one very important word. So tzei mekarish leisha stam. So I would like you to be a mekarish a woman. Now, I'm not that particular. In fact, I'm not picky at all. You can go ahead and choose whoever you want. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure whoever you choose is going to be fine. And so the shlech goes and is mekarish a woman, and then the shlech dies, and the shlech does not come back reporting who exactly the lucky girl was. So we all know the Gemara's second parak in Kedushin that the mitzvah of Kedushin could be done. It could be done through a shlech. So the Gemara over there does note that it's important. Obviously not critical, but it's important that the man see the woman before he marry her. Okay, and the Gemara says over there, you know why? Because of the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, right? The beginning of the second parak. The mitzvah of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha dictates that, you know, we're going to live together and I got to like you, so he should see her prior to the Kiddushin. Okay, but anyway, it's important, but it's obviously not critical. Obvious from our Gemara. So anyway, so he sends this Mishlech on a mission to be Mekadosh a woman, and he's not specific in terms of who is Mekadosh, and we'll see in just a moment that that's not appropriate. But he does it, and the shlech does it, and now the shlech unfortunately is no longer to come back to report who the woman was. So now watch the consequence. It's an unbelievable consequence. Aser b'chol hanashim sheba'olam. So now this man who sent the shlech on a mission to be mekadosh a woman, and now unfortunately doesn't know who he was mekadosh to, so he cannot marry anyone in the world. Why? So because we have a general principle that when I send somebody to do something for me, he did exactly what I did. So in other words, we're going to assume, number one, he did his job, became a delo parishle, and because it wasn't specified who it was, ha lo yada hainiu kadishle, so therefore he doesn't know who he was mekadish. Okay, let's pause over here in the Gemara and let's think about this for a moment. Let's go through Tosfos, because we have a lot of questions that we need answered. Here's the problem. Right. Okay, good. So like I said, a lot we have to work through and think through, and we're going to go through Tosfos. Here are the top Tosfos on the Amud. So now what? Right. So first of all, as Danny pointed out, so what do you mean he can't marry another woman? Here's the problem. Problem is that we don't know who he was mekadesh, and so therefore there's an incredibly small chance that the woman that he's going to end up finding is going to be his actual wife, which would be great. You're married anyway. So the but there's also a very good, very not as small, a bigger chance. Thank you. That's better. Yeah. There's a bigger chance that the one you're going to marry is going to be her sister, her mother, her daughter. I know. Now we're getting a little less statistically probable, but her grandmother, her granddaughter. In other words, Krovim. There's a chance that she has.
Daughter.
Oh, stay tuned. Hold that thought. We're going to come back to that thought. So there's a chance, albeit small, but there's a chance that when you marry a woman, it's going to be the cover of the wife that you married. Okay, that's right now, that's going to be our story, and that's going to be the understanding of the Gemara. But to which Tosfos says, that's a difficult understanding of the Gemara. Let's take a look together now. Tosfos on the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and Tosfos writes, V'im Tomer, V'kula Amma Yaisru Lisi Noshin D'Shema Zosi Ish Nizkacha Ayideh Shliach. Look, from the man's perspective who actually sent the Shliach, so right now we're working with an understanding that he can't marry anyone because that person may be the Karov of the of woman X. We don't know who woman X is. Tosfos says, I got another question. Let's now go to the entire other rest of the male population, the Jewish male population. Why are they allowed to marry somebody? Meaning, woman X is out there, and woman X is a married woman. So now, if for whatever reason we're entertaining this possibility that the guy who sent the shliach can't marry anyone because she may be a karuv of woman X, well, why can't the rest of the Jewish male population be able to marry somebody that may be actually woman X? So that's Tosus's question. So look, Rabbeinu Tam says that a woman has the following ne'emanus. A woman is credible and believed to say that she did not receive kedushin. So good. But even Tosfos says, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's good, not great. Because, look, who's given ne'emanus? Someone who's a bastas. Someone who is mentally competent. So Tenech Gedolos Ketana Shein Yodosi Mavim Kibal Avaran Kedusha Ma'ikal Ameimar. But Tosfos points out that'll help most of the women, but if she's a Ketana and she doesn't have that ne'emanus, Ma'ikal Ameimar Ukvar Mesavia. In other words, her father accepted Kedusha on her behalf, and let's just for argument's sake, let's say the father died. So now, can't you now argue that no one's allowed to marry this woman because she may be woman X? And although women have the credibility in saying they didn't receive Kedusha, she's a Ketana, and her father died. So how was she able to get married? So you know there's an answer to this question. There has to be. It's just a question of how to articulate the answer. So Tosa says like this, that mid-araisa, we're going to work let's make that important correction. The mid-araisa afilu hu shari lisa. Okay. So Tosa says, in terms of understanding of a Gemara, now we're going to have a deeper understanding of our Gemara. The truth be told is that the man who sent the shliach himself is allowed to marry anyone he wants on a Torah level. Why? Dazlina basaruba milamar mikravosa mikudeshes he. Ve'ena ella, I'm sorry, mikudeshes he. Because we know that we have a principle in all of halacha, and that is rov. We operate with rov. And the majority is dictating that. If I go to, after I sent the shliach, and after the shliach came back and did not report to me because the shliach died. And so now there's a woman out there who's asur, but that's one woman, and the rest of them are mutter. So, and we have a principle in halacha called rov. So that principle in halacha will dictate that whomever I go to and be mekadesh, chances are, probability is, it's not going to be a relative of the one who I was mekadesh. Now, so Tosfos says, so if all that's true, so now we got to go back to our Gemara. What's going on in our Gemara? Ve'eno ela kinasa ba'ama. So over here, Tosfos' understanding of Rav Yochanan is that Rav Yochanan is operating via a knas. It's a penalty to the man. What did he do wrong? Sha'asa shliach stam v'lo pirish lo. Kiyish leplonis. What he did wrong is that that's perfectly inappropriate behavior. Where you send a shliach to be mekadesh a woman and you don't specify and designate which one it is. That's not right. And as a result of that, if the shliach did it and was unable to report back to you that which whom he was mekadesh, so now, as a kenas, you can't marry anyone because you acted inappropriately. Uli didei, just give me a moment. Uli didei kansu, ulachrin lo kansu. So Tosfos says, fine. Now that we're no longer operating with dinei d'orais, now we're operating with kenas, so now we can localize. Now we could say that the kenas is only going on the person who acted inappropriately. Kenas is not going on anyone else. Okay, how do you go? Good. So, right. He was asking about Eliezer. It's great. Oh, right. He's asking very good. So the
Right.
That, yeah. He didn't specify which member of the family. Okay. Right. But he gave right. He didn't. Okay. Okay. How do you let me think? It's good. I really like it. Okay. So now Tosfos says, and you're going to see shades of this discussion coming up in the Gemara, but right now we're in Tosfos, and Tosfos says, okay, but we also have another principle as it relates to Halach, and that's the principle of Kavua. As the prototypical case that comes up in the Gemara time and again, if I have a piece of meat, and there are 10 stores around the city, 9 of them are selling kosher, 1 of them is selling non-kosher, and the piece of meat somehow lands in the middle of the street, so that piece of meat was Poresh, it moved from the store, called the Parsh, Meruba Kaparsh. So there we operate with the basic principles of Rove. However, if I go into a store, and I forgot which store I went into, and I got the piece of meat, and right now I do not remember where that piece of meat comes from, so that suffix now comes from an establishment, from a stationary location, and the halacha is, and the best way to say it is gzeres hakasav, this is the halacha because this is the halacha, and that is called kavu kemechsa mechsadami. That when the suffix is generated from a stationary item, so therefore, we take the numbers, we throw the numbers right out the window, wow, and we operate with 50-50. And 50-50 on a suffix d'oraisa, we're going to be machmir. So Tosu says, when you're mekadesh a woman, can we not make the argument that the woman herself was kavua? She was stationary, and therefore, can't we argue kol kavu kemechsa mechsadami? V'yesh lamar, so Tosu over here gives another big chiddush, and that is, the lo armin kavu kemechsadami, Ela kisha iser nikar la'atzmo. Tosos argues that the only time that we employ the principle of kavua, that when the suffix is coming from a stationary item, that it goes now, the numbers go to 50-50, that's only when the iser was independently recognizable. However, if the Isser itself was never independently recognizable, so then we don't say the principle of kol kavua, but rather we go back to our statistics. Statistically speaking, it's a miut. She is a miut. Her relatives also constitute a miut. So therefore, on a Torah level, you would be able to marry any woman out there. To quickly summarize, so what Tosus is teaching us is the following, that this halacha of Rav Yochanan is really not operating on a din Torah. As far as din Torah is concerned, this man who sent a shliach and successfully was mekadesh to a woman who he cannot identify is allowed to marry somebody. Okay, either it's going to be somebody not related to the woman he married, or it's going to be the woman he married. It could be a karov, but that's a small chance. So on a Torah level, Tosu says that what Rav Yochanan is not saying is that min haTorah he's not allowed to marry anyone, min haTorah he's allowed to marry somebody. So how do you understand Rav Yochanan? Tosu says it's a kenas. It's a penalty on the man because he acted inappropriately, sending a shlich to be mekadesh somebody and not knowing who he was going to be mekadesh. Good, Ad Khan. That is Tosus' understanding of Rav Yochanan. Eisvei, the Gemara is now going to challenge Rav Yochanan. We're back to the Gemara. Eisvei, Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan, Kanstuma Sheparcha. So we know that sometimes it's incumbent upon a person to bring a pair of birds. One bird is going to serve as an ol, the other one's going to be a chatas. And just in terms of the technicalities, there's a difference between ol and a chatas. An ola bird, the blood is sprinkled on the lower portion of the mizbeach. A chatas bird, the blood is sprinkled on the upper portion of the mizbeach. And so therefore, you have to be able to identify which bird is which. Now, in terms of birds, so the identification of which bird is which is done at two points. Either it's done at the point of purchase, or it's done at the point of akrava. However, what the person bringing the birds can do is he could just simply buy a pair of birds, either tor v'gozal, either a pigeon or a turtle dove, and bring the birds to the Kohen, and the Kohen, when he's makriv, can make the designation of which one's which. So either the birds can come either as an unspecified pair, or the birds can come as a specified pair. So that's, and we're gonna look at both scenarios. So the first scenario that we're looking at is kanstuma, where it's unspecified. So that means that when I gave the pair of birds to the Kohen, we didn't say which one's the chatas, which one's the yola, and the Kohen himself later on will make the determination. Shiparcha goes achamehem lavir olam. The Mishnah Kinnim teaches us where one of the birds flies away, and so now that's it. We're missing a bird. So shiparcha lebein chatos amesos, or the bird flew amongst chatas that are destined to die, or one of them die. Put it simply, one of the birds is gone. So yikach zug l'sheni, so that's not a problem. In fact, it's a very simple solution. So get a second bird. Because right now, the birds are unspecified. We didn't determine which one's the chatas and which one's the ola. No problem. V'ilu kan mefereshes ein lo takana. However, as it's pretty clear from the Mishnah that if the birds have already been specified, one's a chatas and one's an ola, and one of them flew away. And the assumption going into this Mishnah is that once one of them flies away, I cannot identify the remaining bird. This part I perfectly don't understand. I don't perfectly understand. Meaning when they were together, you were able to identify them, and when one flies away, you're no longer able to identify them. Okay, but again, just going into this Mishnah, that's the general assumption. That once one of them flies away, that's it. You have a bird, it has been specified, but you don't know which one it was. You don't know if it's a chatos or it's an ola. So What do? You're stuck. Meaning, this has no solution. You're going to have to dispose of the remaining bird and start anew. V'ilu shar kinim ba'ama mitkanin. However, here's what the Mishnah in Kinim does not mention, and it seems pretty clear what the halacha would be. You have a bird out there in the world, flying, right? An escaped bird. And this bird could be anywhere. So why don't we say that somebody else's pair of birds, it could be the refugee, the refugee bird that flew away. And somehow, this does not pose a concern to us. So Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, so here, it's analogous, where in the case where you're a Mekadesh woman, you don't know which one you're a Mekadesh. So what do we say? We say to the person, you cannot marry anyone because we're afraid that that one person you marry is going to be a relative of your wife. On the other hand, here in the case where the bird flew away, there's no concern. Why don't we say that any other bird that you find may be the refugee bird from this pair? So Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, right, this comparison between women and birds is not a fair comparison. Why? Because birds are constantly in motion. And so therefore, we have the principle of kol deparsh meruba kaparsh. So the principle is that once something is in motion, so therefore you operate with statistics, and the statistics will tell you that whatever bird you got is not the refugee bird that flew away. And let me just finish the thought. As it relates to women, however, women are stationary. When they're accepting kiddushin, they're not in motion. They're stationary. Therefore, they follow the principles of kavua. So again, this part of the Gemara seems to belie that which Tosfos was arguing earlier, that this is not kavua, said Tosfos. Okay. So and if you look further, I'm not going to go through them, but if you look further at the Tosfos on this part of the Gemara, so Tosfos tries to deal with that. But anyway, I understand, but for the bird to arrive here, the bird had to have been in motion, as opposed to the woman. When you're mekadesher, when you're doing that point of action, she's currently stationary. I also struggle sometimes to come to a good definition of what's in motion and what's stationary. That's always a complication. But v'chite ma'achinami nayed. So the Gemara says that maybe the woman is currently in motion. So emad b'shuka ishkach v'kadesh. Maybe, and by the way, the Gemara right now is struggling in terms of getting to a good definition of what's stationary, what's in motion. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the woman's in the market. So in other words, look, again, the guy who sent the shliach didn't make any designation of who it was going to be. So could be that the shliach, as he's walking through the market, sees a woman. Okay, but it could have been anyone. Good, so it's you. Okay, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide. So it could have been you. So in other words, so he's running into a woman in the market, and he says, okay, look, I've been appointed by a guy so that you can marry. Are you ready to accept Kiddushin are you ready to accept his Kiddushin? I struggle to imagine that she would say yes, but that doesn't matter. The point is that maybe the woman's in motion. The Gemara says, V'kardesh ha'sam hadra l'nichusa. So the Gemara says, yeah, correct. She may have been walking in the market, but as she's receiving and accepting the Kiddushin, she stopped. Right? I guess you can continue to argue that maybe they were walking and talking. But the Gemara says, no. The assumption is that she stopped. When she stopped, she's now in rest. As a result of that, she now falls under the category of kavua, and we say kol kavua kemechsa mechsadami. So gabe kan mihadra, but as far as the birds are concerned, the birds are in motion, are in constant motion. Okay, good. So far what do we have? It seems to be that we have totally left the world of Nazirus. We have so far learned a halacha of Rav Yochanan. A man sends the shlich to be mekadesh anybody. The shlich does it, but does not report who it was, and unfortunately dies before reports. So Rav Yochanan says, this man cannot marry anyone. Why? Because that person may be the relative of the one he married. Again, we went through Tosfos in terms of understanding why this should be. But that's Rav Yochanan's halacha. To which Reish Lakish asked Rav Yochanan based on the Mishnah and Kinim, and Rav Yochanan deflected the question. That's where we are right now in the Gemara, and we're right in the middle of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Amar Rava Moda Rav Yochanan. And now, how do we get to your point? And that is the following. Here, Rava says, here's where Rav Yochanan would agree. Be'isha she'in lo, bas v'lo bas bas, v'lo bas ben. Let's imagine now you have a woman, and the woman did not have a daughter nor a granddaughter. Velo aim, velo aim, aim. And this woman also did not have a mother nor a grandmother. Velo achos, and this woman did not have a sister. Now, va'afa pisha isala achos v'nizgar shala achemikan. And even if she had a sister, but the sister at the time was currently not available. Let's say at the time of the appointment of the kedushin, her sister was married. So even though she became available at a later point in time, dehi sharya, this woman now will be permitted to the man. Because again, what was our whole concern? Our whole concern is that if I go ahead and marry a woman in question, the woman's going to be a relative of my wife. Over here, not a problem, because this woman has no relatives. And even if she had one sister, just for argument's sake, even if she had one sister, but at the time of the appointment, the sister was married, even though right now the sister is divorced, at least you now know that this woman is not a relative of your wife.
You can ask the sister when you get married by a...
So the sister, for her own purposes, is Neman, but that Nemanus is only for her. That's not for somebody else. So my tama de beisheta de kamalei hava nisivan legavri. So, and the reason why we're not worried about the sister is because at the time of the appointment of the shliach, she was currently unavailable. And kimashi shliach, and here we go. And this is really the key line of today, meaning the whole reason. Why? We went through the halacha of Rav Yochanan, and the qualification of Rav is to get to this one line of Gemara. And here really is the key line of the Gemara for today. Ki mashri shliach b'milsa de kai mekamei. B'milsa de lo kai mekamei lo mashri shliach. When I appoint a shliach, I'm only thinking about those things which are currently available. And I do not consider when I appoint a shliach a future commodity. Now, I know we're talking about women over here, so but a future opportunity. Okay, good. That is the general rule, says the Gemara, and as a result of the general rule, so the Gemara says that Rava's qualification would be that if a woman has no daughters, granddaughters, mothers, grandmothers, and a married sister at the time, so now this woman, you could say safely, is not a relative of your wife, even though your wife is somewhere out there in the world. But this woman's not it. And the chiddush is that even if her sister subsequently divorced, if at the time of the appointment of the shliach her sister was married, so now you know that this woman is not going to be an issue. Okay. Good. So far, so good. And now that we said all that, now we have arrived full circle back at our Mishnah. Let's review our Mishnah. The Gemara quotes it. Tanan Arini Nazir Alai Legalech. V'alai legalech nazir. V'shem chaver v'amar v'ani v'alai legalech nazir. Ima yupichim megalchin zeh zeh. So we review the Mishnah. Mishnah says, one person says he's going to be a nazir, and he declares himself sponsorship of somebody else. The other one says, I'm going to be a nazir, and I'm also going to sponsor. And the Mishnah says, now if they're smart, here's what they're going to do. They're going to sponsor each other. Wonderful. Now, v'im lav megalchin zeh nachirim. But if they're not that clever, so then they're both going to serve their Naziris and they'll sponsor somebody else. Now, the Gemara says, let us think and let us consider. Bishlama basraika kadma kame. When the second guy says, and me too. So when the second guy was making his declaration of Naziris and sponsorship, so basically for him, you had him being a Nazir, and there was another Nazir to sponsor, i.e. the first guy. Right. But now let's go from the perspective of the first guy. However, Bishlama Basra Ika Kama Kame. Ela Kadma, but the first guy, Mika Basra Kame. He said, I'm going to be a Nazir and I'm going to sponsor a Nazir. At that moment, the second guy has not yet declared his Nazirus. So don't we assume, based on the previous discussion of the Gemara, that when I make a declaration, I'm only having in mind that which is currently available to me, and I'm not thinking about future considerations? That is the Gemara's question. So we went through the entire halacha, Rav Yochanan and Rava, so that we could ask this basic question. How do you understand our Mishnah? How can our Mishnah mean that the second guy accepts Naziris and sponsors? That part I get, because the first guy was now a Nazir. But the first guy, when he accepts Naziris and sponsorship of another Nazir, second guy is not yet a Nazir. Isn't the sponsorship only on people who are currently a Nazir? And the answer. Not from Rav Yochanan, from Rava's qualifications of Rav Yochanan. Because Rava said that if her sister was married at the time of the appointment of Shlichus, even if she later becomes divorced, but since at the time of the appointment she was not available, so she was not under the purview of the man. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ella Hachikama. So the Gemara says, so the answer will be actually be pretty straightforward, pretty simple, and that is, we're just going to have to understand the declaration of the first guy a little bit better. Imishkachana Dahavi Nazir Agalche. What his sponsorship was, is that if I find anyone who either currently is a Nazir or who's ready to become a Nazir, I'm going to sponsor his Nazirus. Meaning, you really can't equate the Rav Yochanan Rava Halacha to our declaration over here. Because over here, he's not a shliach. He's just simply saying, I'm sponsoring. What is he sponsoring? Either I'm sponsoring someone who's currently a Nazir, or I'm sponsoring somebody who will be a Nazir. That's all. In the case of a shliach, no, maybe when I appoint a shliach, my intent and mind is only on those things which are currently and presently available, but not beyond that. So hachinami, hachikamerle, imishkach demigarsha kadishli. So the Gemara says, well, can't you argue that isn't that maybe what the man is saying to the shliach? Maybe the man is saying to the shliach as follows: look, you'll marry anyone for me, okay? Because right now I'm not particular. And in fact, how about this? Let's even widen the net. As if the net wasn't wide enough. And let's even widen the net. And you know what? Let's say there's a woman who's currently married now. But as you go out there into the world and start, you know, hunting for the future Mrs. Me, I'll tell you what. Let's say a woman becomes available right after Gerushin. I'll take her as well. Meaning, if you're arguing in the case of Nazir, that his sponsorship is going to be inclusive of anyone who's currently a Nazir, or maybe even a future Nazir, can't you make the same argument as it relates to the guy who's sending out the shliach on a wild goose chase for the future misses? And maybe it also includes women who currently are available and women who in the future will be available. To which the Gemara at this point says, no, there's a limit. So they said, the they is the Bnei HaYeshiva, right? Whenever you see the word Amri, not whenever, but most of the time, when you see the word Amri in the Gemara, it means that the Bnei HaYeshiva were thinking about this, they were discussing this in the Beis Medrash, and they said no. La Masha in a Shliach, Ella B'milsa D'matzei Aved. Hashta. B'milsa D'lamatzei Aved Le'hashta Lo Mashve. So here the Bnei HaYeshiva arrive at the following conclusion. And basically, I said it already, but let's say it again. In the case of the Nazir, you're not appointing anyone a shliach. You are just simply sponsoring. It's your money. You do with your money what you want. And if you say that I am dedicating some of my money towards a Nazir, you can make the statement of either current Nazirim or future Nazirim. It's your money. But over here, you're appointing a shliach. In the appointment of an agent, you only have the right and ability to appoint an agent over things which are currently available and not a future. The Rush says this is a function of Maktan Davish Lo Ba'al Olam. This is connected to the discussion that the Gemara often has, although quite frankly the Gemara doesn't say this, but the Rush does. This is connected to the discussion we often have throughout the Gemara, that you cannot do a transaction with a future. And it's interesting, basically the appointment of a shliach is kind of like a transaction. That's, you know, that itself requires more thought and more contemplation, but that's what it certainly sounds like from the Rush. So therefore, the Bnei HaYeshiva say, when I appoint a shliach, my right and ability, my power of appointment can only go on those things which are currently available. And now, after having said that, we're going to test this thesis of the Bnei HaYeshiva. Velo, the Gemara says, is that true? Tashma, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Adarim. Homer l'apotropa shalo. It's actually, I believe it's a Braisa. Okay, hopefully I remember correctly. Anyway, Homer l'apotropa shalo kol nedarim shetidur yishti mikan ad sha'avo mimakomploni hafer lo. Do me a favor, he says to an apotropa. All right, a custodian over his house, a trustee. He says, look, I'm going away on a trip, and you know, my wife, every now and then she makes a neder. Okay, her emotions get the best of her, and she makes a neder. And usually I'm there, and good, so I'll be made for the neder. But I'm going away, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to deputize you, and you'll be my you'll be my guy. You'll be my mafer. Hopefully, then, yeah, right. You understand? Okay, good. So the So, and does that work? Yes or no? So, machlokis. We saw this back in the Darim. So, shetito yishimi kana shetah shavim and makomponi hafer la. Vehefer la. And the custodian does exactly as instructed. Yachol yehe mufarim. So, I might have thought that he was deputized. He therefore can do it. Tamalamar isha yikimenu, v'isha yiferenu. The Torah says, isha. Isha mapikhe. Ishala. Only her husband could do so to the exclusion of somebody else. Meaning, zeres akasav. Only the husband can do so, but he can't deputize somebody else to do it. Div Rav Yoshia, that's the opinion of Rav Yoshia, Rav Yonasan Omar Matsin Bechola Torah. Sorry. Matsin Bechol Makum. Sheshuchu Shaladim Kamosa. We have a general rule throughout Shas. Shlichus. What does Shlichus mean? He's me. I'm appointing him my agent. My agent is me. So, Taima Da'amarach Mani Ishai Kamen. I'm sorry. Period. And so Rabbi Yonasan disagrees and he says, no, I have the right to deputize somebody else to be made for my wife's neder. Now, time Adam Rachmani Shaykimen Visha Yifirenu. And let's go back to the opinion of Yoshia. I mean, the question is already laid out, but the Gemara would even like to solidify the question. Look, even within the position of Yoshia, who says that the apotropos can't do it. But for a technical reason, because the Torah says here, in this particular case, he can't do it. Halav hachi apotropos mefer. Had it not been for that technicality, he would have been, in theory, perfectly comfortable with the idea of annulling his wife's neder. Ve'ilu gabi didei tanya. Now, let's take this one step even further. We are talking about her future nedarim. We're not talking about her current nedarim. Now, let's spell this out. The Gemara has adopted a thesis. The Bnei Yeshiva said that when I appoint a shliach over something, I can only appoint them over something which I currently can do. But if it's something that I cannot currently do, I can't appoint a shliach to do so. And so now we're talking about hafara on a future neder. So let's establish. Can I myself be mefer my wife's future nedarim? Time, right. That's the correct answer, but there will be a little nuance in that no, but that's the correct answer. Tanya Omer Lishto, kol nedarim shetidarim mikan v'ashavom em makom ploni yehe kayamim lomar klum. If a person tries to lay the foundation for kiyum haneder, meaning when you make it, I'm going to go away. If let's say a week from now, 2 weeks from now, you make a neder, I want to be mekayim that neder. Doesn't work. You cannot sustain a neder for the future. Lo amar klum, doesn't work. Harei hein mufarim, what about the other way? What about if I want to annul the neder that she's going to make in the future? Rabbi Elazar amar mufar. So Rabbi Elazar says, yes, you can do that. Vechachamim omri meinu mufar. And the chachamim say, and that's the halacha, that you can't do it. You can only be made for a neder which is currently on the table. But you can't be made for a neder in the future. So now, let's go. So we now know that according to the Chachamim, you can't be made for a neder in the future. And so now our question is set. So if you can't do it, so you do not have the ability or power to deputize the shliach to do so as well, because you can't deputize somebody to do something that you yourself cannot do.
He's not asking to nullify a neder for the future. He's asking what she does make it,
then you nullify it. Correct. Right. But he currently can't do that.
Doesn't he also have to
do
it?
He can't do it.
He currently can't do it.
No.
Right. So Kasakadacha Kiyama Rabbi Yoshi Aliba Durabanan. So the Gemara says, now, included in this question the Gemara asks, we made an assumption. And that is that between Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia, so they are both in agreement to the position of the Chachamim. It's a safe bet, it's a safe assumption. Chachamim is the majority position, it's the accepted position. So, and Rabbi Eliezer is the disputant, and Rabbi Eliezer is the Shamuti, and it's a safe assumption. So the Amir Lamati Mefer. V'ilav Damar Rachman Ishai Kemen V'Ishai Yifrenu Apotropos Ave Mefer. And the Gemara just simply reiterates. And that is, only for a technical reason, the Apotropos can't do it because of the Gzeres HaKasav. But in theory, it would have worked. Now why? If we have this rule that I can't appoint a Shliach to do something, which is currently something that I cannot do, so then, and we said that regarding the woman who is currently married, even after the appointment of the shliach, she may become available, can't marry her. That's what we said on the Amud Aleph of today's daf. So over here, if she hasn't made the neder yet, and we subscribe to the position of the Chachamim, where now currently I have no right to be made for a neder that she's going to make. So if that's true, if that's so, so then how can I point to Shliach to do so? And both Rav Yoshi and Rav Yonason say it's possible. Now, according to Rav Yonason, it's more than possible. You could do it. According to Rav Yoshi, in theory, you can do it. So the Gemara says, V'dilma aliba de Rav Elazar damar mati mefer. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, we're going to change an assumption, and that'll resolve the question. And that is that we assumed that he was going like the position of the Chachamim. The Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe they're going like the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so it's definitely a difficult answer. In other words, in order to resolve the question, we're going to have Tanaim follow the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. But the Gemara says, let's assume that. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, a person himself can be made for his wife's neder, even if she hasn't currently made them. Even if it's for the future, a man can be made for his wife's nedarim. So now let's ask the obvious question. If the man can do it himself, so why is he asking a shliach to do so? Why not just do it himself? Why is he deputizing somebody to do it? So leifa la'ihu, let him himself do it. Kasava dilma mishtalina, or asachna, or mitradina. So the guy says himself, the husband says to himself, look, I know myself, right? Now he has a lot of self-awareness. He knows he forgets things. He knows he gets angry. He knows he gets preoccupied with other things. In other words, it's true. He himself could be made for his wife's future nedarim, but he's just worried about the human condition. He may forget, he may get angry, he just may be too preoccupied. So if he sets up a shliach to be made for his wife's nedarim, so now he knows that he can get involved in whatever human condition he needs to get involved in. Not a problem. The shliach himself will be made for his wife's nedarim. So, but again, all this is assuming that they subscribe to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And so now, problem solved. We have a rule. We have a thesis made amongst the Bnei Yeshiva. I can only appoint a shliach to do something that I myself can currently do. But if I myself cannot currently do it, the shliach will not have the power to do so, even though in the future it may become available. That's the thesis amongst the Bnei Yeshiva. The Gemara challenged. What about the idea that a husband can deputize a man to be made for his wife's nedarim? Gemara's answer is, anyone who says that subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer, who is of the opinion that you can do it. And because you can do it, you can ask a shliach to do so as well. But if you don't subscribe to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, so then not only can you not deputize the shliach, but you can, not only can you not be made for the future nedarim of your wife, but you can't deputize somebody else to do so as well.
Okay. What does Rabbi Eliezer do with the
pasuk? Isha yikemenu v'isha yiferenu. So,
how can you appoint someone to be the husband of your wife?
He's your agent. What do you mean? He's your shliach.
But it says in the Torah only the husband.
Okay, good. So what do you do with the pasuk? Good. Shulcha shaladim kamoso. Meaning he's my extension. He's an extension of me.
You get your wife, or you can marry.
Yeah. Okay. That ends the first sugya of today. So again, just a quick recap. So we went off on a long tangent. The halacha of Rav Yochanan that you're makarish a woman's tam and wasn't specified who it was. So the halacha is that you can't marry anybody. We went through Tosos. Tosos explains that's not dine daraisa. That's a knas de rabbanan. We went through the Tosos. We explained. Then we went through Rava's addendum to Rav Yochanan's halacha, and that is there is a woman you'd be allowed to marry, and that would be the woman who has no relatives, and even if she has a sister, but a sister at the time of the appointment to the shliach was currently married and therefore unavailable. So now you can marry this woman, the unmarried sister, because nothing to worry about. She had no relatives, and so therefore she's not the relative of your woman X. And on that, the Gemara says, and we developed a thesis, and it's one of the big ideas of today, and that is that in general you cannot appoint a shliach to do something that you yourself currently cannot do, even though in the future it may become available. That's what the Bnei Yeshiva say. We tested that thesis. The Gemara successfully defended that thesis. We move on. Next Mishnah. A person makes the following declaration. I'm going to sponsor a half a Nazir. And the other person says, oh good, you know what? I'll sponsor the other half. Beautiful. So Rav Meir says, you know what? Each one is on the hook for a full Nazir. Why? We'll explain momentarily. And the Chachamim say no. They sponsored half a Nazir. So therefore, each one of them has to pay for half a Nazir. Between the two of them, they're going to pay for the Karbanos of one Nazir. Good. Amar Rava. So I didn't explain Rav Meir because we're going to go through Gemara and then we'll understand Rav Meir. Amar Rava. How come Adam Kolei Echad Amar Chatzi Karbanos Nazir Olai Chatzi Karban Chatzi Karban Maisi Karbanos Chatzi Nazir. I'm sorry. Maisi Karbanos. I'm sorry. Let me read that again. How come Adam Kolei Echad Amar Chatzi Karbanos Nazir Olai Chatzi Karban Maisi. Okay. Good. Now that I read it correctly, if my statement was very clearly articulated, and I said that I'm ready to sponsor Chatzi Karbanos Nazir, unequivocally, everyone knows what that means, half the Karbanos of a Nazir. Good. No debate. And Karbanos Chatzi Nazir Alai. And if my declaration was, I'm going to bring the Karbanos of half a Nazir, no such thing. You're either a Nazir or you're not. So Kula Karban Bai Yesuye. So half a Nazir really is a full Nazir, and so therefore you're on the hook for Karbanos. And Rabbi says, and there's no debate on both of those statements. My taima. Because again, there's no such thing as a half Nazir. The only debate, says Rava, is specific to the language used in our Mishnah. And let's go over the language used in our Mishnah. Rav Meir Sofer Kivda Maharei Alai. Rav Meir says, look, and this is Rav Meir consistent with his general position throughout Shas, and that is Tfos Lashon Rishon. A person makes a statement. So if the first phrase of the statement can independently stand, that's it. It stands. He says, Harei Alai. I accept upon myself. Already, it's a full acceptance, although to be fair, he's not exactly saying what he's accepting upon himself, but Hare Alai Ichayv Akulei Karban Naziris. So now he's accepted upon himself a full Karban Naziris. V'chi Kamar Chatzi Naziris, and then when he tries to now kind of scale back, and he says Chatzi Naziris Lav Kol Kamine. He doesn't have that right to do that. Again, as here the Rishonim point out, Tosfos points out, it's based on his general premise of Tfos Lashon Rishon. And so therefore, since he accepted upon himself sponsorship, he's on the hook for a full Nazir. The fact that he's trying to retract, he can't do that. And as we explained a couple of days ago, why not? Why can't you retract? Because this is Kachim. And in the world of Kachim, Rameir's of the opinion, no ability for retraction. V'rabbanan Savre, Neder U'Pesach Imo Hu. And the Chachamim say no. We don't agree. Meaning, we subscribe to the viewpoint of Rav Yossi, that you take the totality of the statement. He started with the words Harei Alai, but then he clarifies that which he meant. Harei Alai Chatzi Karban Nazir. I'm only accepting upon myself half of a Nazir, half the Karbanos of a Nazir, and so therefore you allow for the total statement to be made, point made, clarification made, so therefore you're only on the hook for the half the Karbanos of a Nazir. Adkan, that takes us through the second sugya of today. Adkan, tomorrow we start with the next Mishnah.